to extend greetings to you this morning in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. What a glorious, glorious name. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, Lord, this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, guide us, Father, for thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Father, give us wisdom this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Got a lot on my mind this morning. Want to again greet you and bless you. Let's open the Bible to Psalm chapter 1. One of the first psalms after I started seeking the Lord. After my eyes were opened to His way, to His words, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I remember a time in my life when I walked in my own counsel, and I walked in my own way, and I remember whenever I surrendered, and I remember whenever the Lord began to open my eyes And I begin to see. As long as I was in darkness, I didn't know I couldn't see. And that's the most dreadful fear there is about deception. You don't know you're deceived. You don't know you're walking in your own way. You think you're walking in the way that you ought to be walking. But you don't know your own way. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Boy, if we just had our eyes open to that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the advice of the ungodly. In the advice or the counsel. So often we are prone to follow worldly wisdom, to follow principles that this world has laid down. And it's just natural for us. And it sounds so wise and so right. We can look back on our lives and sometimes it just seems like that it just all made sense. This morning I just want to reflect a little bit backwards to my own life. And I think back to the time whenever I made so many choices. Back when a time whenever I thought I had the answers. Back when a time when just following the flow of the world and walking in its counsel, standing in the way of sinners, or standing in that way, standing in that path, hanging around in that path, if you want to put it that way. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. Sitting around with those that just mock real godliness. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But rather, blessed is the man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Remember what a blessing it was whenever I began to realize what these verses meant. I was a wanderer in darkness. And how refreshing it was when God began to open my eyes. And that's what grace is whenever we hear God calling us. And he reproves the way we've lived, and the way we've chosen our own path. And I remember, and I reflect back to when I was young. And as I look back now, from right here, I see how often I walked in my own counsel. I see how often I walked in the counsel of the ungodly. I love to delight just to stand in the way of the sinners, stand in the way of the world, and sit in the seat of the scornful. Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When I look back at my life, I'm thankful for my Father. I'm so thankful for the good things He taught me whenever I wanted my own way. And I can stand here right before you. I was up quite a bit last night thinking about this. Thought about it for quite a while. And I do not remember one time looking back from where I am right now that I regret one restraint that He put on my life. If there is a regret in my life that I wish my Father would have done, I wish He would have restrained me more. I wish He would have restrained me more. I wish He would have been a little more diligent in trying to form me and instruct me. He didn't do a lot of instructing. And I wish He would have. He didn't have a lot of guidance for me, near as much as I wanted, needed. I love what He taught me. I love what He showed me. My only regret is I wish there would have been more. When I became a disciple of the Lord, I grew up in churches that gave me counsel that went flat-footed against the counsel of the Lord. There was some good advice at times, but there was so much of it that was so contrary to God's Word. There were so many things that could have been so much better. And when I yielded my heart to the Lord, when I began to become a disciple, a disciplined one, one who has his life brought under the control of another, brought under the authority of another, I sought for someone to give me some guidance and instruction. I remember going out preaching, trying to show people that there is something wrong. And I'd go and I'd take my Bible and a handful of tracts and I went door to door, beating on doors. And people with their doctrines would come to the door and they'd fill me full of several verses and it just sounded irrefutable. But I knew it wasn't. There's something wrong there. There's something wrong. And I'd come home and I'd open my Bible and I'd weep and seek and search what Jesus had to say about what they were teaching. And often in the very verses they used to try to prove their doctrines, the Lord had the answer right there in the middle of it. Some little place where they had it twisted and out of order. And how many times I begged the Lord, Lord, send someone to guide me. Send someone, Lord. I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. I need wisdom. I'd find someone who had a little more wisdom, it seemed. And I thought, oh boy, here's someone I can just sit under and listen. And the next thing I knew, they were trying to teach me something that didn't agree, that didn't fit. One man, I found a lot of good wisdom, a lot of good courage, a lot of good Bible teaching. And I went to his house every week just so I could sit at his feet and listen to his wisdom, to learn from him. And I learned a lot. Then as time went on, the learning began to be less and less. Instead of being encouragement, it began to be, what's going on here? And one day I went and he said, well, we'll go back. We used to have a little room and we'd go back in there and we'd sit and we'd pray and we'd talk. And I went over there one day and he said, well, we'll go back in there in a little bit, but first, I want to watch this show on TV. Got to finish what I'm watching here. He was in the middle of All-Star Wrestling. Just made me sick. Here, I had someone I thought I could listen to. But he's more interested in a couple of grown men throwing each other around, playing like little children. It made me sick. Met a man this week seeking the Lord, it's a real blessing to be with Him. And we spend a little bit of time together. And he began to tell me a little about his life, and he kept referring to his old man. He didn't have any respect at all for him, and I don't know whether there was any or not. Or whether there was anything respectable in him. He's a drug addict. And the only time he comes around is whenever he needs money. So he can go get drunk or go get high again. And he said, you know, I'm the only one that'll help him anymore, and I've about had all of it I can take. He always shows up at the worst time, embarrasses me. He always is a pain in the neck. I've got to straighten out things. He makes a mess of his life and gets his finances all messed up. And they send me the check, and I got to pay his bills. And I got to do all this, and I got to do all that for him. And I said, honor him. Honor him. Been the easiest thing in the world to jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, he's worthless, leave him alone. But the Bible says to honor. To honor. There wasn't anything. I saw him. I saw the man. I saw the way he lived. And there wasn't nothing there to honor. But God says honor him. Honor him anyway. There's a sister down in Columbia, 26 years old, lives at home with her parents. Her mother will not let her dress modestly. Her mother will not let her wear a covering. Her mother will not let her come to church. Her mother makes her go to parties. Her mother is trying to make her date around, find a boyfriend. Her mother is trying to make her do all those things. And she's trying to honor her mother in every way that she can. And it's a struggle for her. She cries day and night to know what to do. To how to honor her mother and keep from disobeying God. There's two ways. We sing the song, there are two ways in this our world. One narrow, straight, the other broad and wide. And there always seems to be two extremes, but in reality there's only one. It seems to be many, many different extremes, but in reality there's only two. There's people who are fighting with their eyes open and have to go against and have to struggle with, have to try to seek the Lord and to love His way. And the whole world's fighting against them, even those that love them most. Or say they do. And then there's those that look and see a restraint. They see it as the most horrible thing. They see it as a terrible thing. And all they want to do is just be free from that restraint so that they can make their own choices. They're not looking to bring themselves under, seeing how low they can submit themselves, how meek they can be. They're looking for a freedom. They're looking to do it by themselves, do it on their own. Those two paths lead two different directions. We have an opportunity to be one or the other. And I don't know of anything clearer in the Bible. That puts us on one side or the other. And someone wanting and striving to do right with all their heart. And they're opposed to do right. And those who have people who care and love them and are trying to guide them, and they're rebelling and fighting and kicking and won't listen to instructions. That is two different paths. One of them leading to heaven because there's a struggle to get there. The other leading to hell. And if we can't subject ourselves to some guidance, some wisdom, someone trying to keep us from making bad choices, we can never fit with God. We don't belong with God. The Bible teaches that if we cannot love our brother, our brethren, our brothers, who we can see, how can we love our God, whom we cannot see? If we can't respect and honor our fathers or our authorities who we can see, we cannot respect a father that we cannot see. to tell you right now, that any one of you children that are in trouble with a godly father, if you're under discipline in your home, you're not going along with communion because you don't belong. You're on a different road. If you're doing things and you're not in harmony with your parents who love you, and I hear about it, you're not going along with communion. New fathers and mothers, if it's going on, let me know. We're not going to have a church run by a bunch of rebellious young people. That's the foundation of the corruption of churches. We try to give as much liberty as we can. But if you can't get along with your parents, you will not get along with God. If you're sneaking around and doing things behind your parents' back, you're a thief, a liar, a robber, a rebellious, wicked person. And if the shoe fits, wear it. I don't care what you may think. If the shoe fits, put it on. Father, just come before you, and we just want to thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Help us be faithful to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.